All right. Well, it's good to see everybody here this morning, or at this afternoon, actually. Bryce, good to have you back. My man David sitting there, Bob. You know, you three, I got, you guys wouldn't even realize how much prayer goes up for you guys, probably on a daily basis. I mean, how many people from this church pray for you guys? Bob's home safe. You know, you got this week off. David's sitting here with us. I mean, this church, if anything else, it sure prays for people. And I believe God honors that. And I thank God that you guys are sitting here. And, you know, I preached over at Amity this morning. And, you know, the Lord gave me a message. And I just, as I was sitting there preaching, I was being convicted. I'm just like, man, thank you, Lord, you know, for showing me something that I wasn't doing right in a message that he gave me. And I got done with Amy. I said, you know, I just need to go out in the car and pray. And on the way here, I asked her, I prayed. I said, Lord, forgive me. I've got some things in my life that ain't right, and I'm sorry. And you showed me that while I was sitting up there preaching that message, and I want to get them right. Forgive me. And I thank God that he does that kind of stuff for me because, you know, there's a lot of us in this room who think we know how to run our lives. And all we have to do is look back and go, yeah, maybe I don't. And I'm one of them. I'm probably one of the biggest ones in this room that I know I can't run my own life. And that's why I rely on God so much, because for 40 years, man, I just left a trail of slime, and that can come back. I can let that go back there again. Yep. You know, but Jesus said that one who grabs that plow and he looks back is not fit for the kingdom of God. I'm trying to be fit for the kingdom of God. I know I don't look too fit standing up here, but I eat a lot. But I'm grabbing that plow and I'm breaking that ground. I'm going forward. I ain't trying to go backward. You can have it. You can have all that stuff you want. And I just don't want it. I want nothing to do with it. I want no part of it. And through hard times and bad times and good times and convictions and so on and so forth, my life is so much better now that I'm saved than I ever was. Times of hard times, there's peace in hard times, and there's a freedom that I've never had in my life. And part of my message was just 5 years ago, I was just thinking, just five years ago, I sat with no hope in my life. I sat there like a big black hole, and I just thought, there's no hope for me. And then the Lord just started breaking through with this Bible and just showing itself to me, showing itself and proving itself to me. And I just really started getting a grasp on things. And I thank God that he took the time to show me that, because today I have hope. And as long as I stay with him, and as long as I stay doing what he asked me to do and stay in his word, and I'm going to preach on some victory today. Some victories we can have. You know, I preach pretty hard nose and other things, but some victories we can have by following, you got it, the instruction manual. You know, a lot of us have kids in here. They didn't come with instruction manuals, but if you're a child of God, he gave you an instruction manual on how to run your life, and it's right here. And it goes totally the opposite of how you ever ran your life before. How do I know that? Because I'm just telling you now, I've never lived my life according to a Bible ever. It's so different now. And you know, a lot of people say they believe, but they don't. Here's how I know that. Because if you believe the Bible like you said, or like you say you do, your life would be totally different than what it is today.
Come on.
It's impossible to believe this Bible and your life not change. It's impossible. Either that, or you just have the wrong God, or you're not saved, or something. Something's not right, because I believe God is all powerful. And if he's living inside of me as a saved person, and he's giving me the instructions that I need to live my life, something's not right. Something's not right. Anyway, if you turn with me, we'll get some victory in this. Psalm 37. Turn with me to Psalm 37. It's a learning process, you know. As for myself,
turn off the mic.
Yeah.
All right. Let me change the battery.
The batteries.
If I take better care of it, Dale.
I know. You put something in my hand, I'm liable to break it.
I need this mic too.
Yep.
Unless you want to walk back there with me.
No, that's it. So yeah. Anyways, Psalm 37, and we're gonna start in verse 1, and we're gonna read the first 8 verses. And I was just going to say before he had to put batteries in there that, you know, please don't ever think that I think that I'm perfect, because I don't.
I don't walk around with my nose up in the air. I don't put people down for what they do. I'm in a learning process. I'm just telling you, for 40 years of living my life my way, this is all new to me. It's all brand new. And I just tell you what, there's times of stumbling. There's times of messing up. There's times that things just are not right. And I have to learn all that. Thank you, bro. I appreciate it. And I have to learn all that. So please, I don't think I'm better than anybody. I don't walk around trying to be better than anybody. I don't care to be better than anybody. Because who I'm trying to please does not live on this earth.
Amen.
He's in heaven. And I'm just not trying to impress anybody. Forgive me if I don't have a perfect walk like, you know, other people might. But I'm learning. I don't walk on water. I don't have an S on my chest. Bullets don't bounce off of me. And that's where the Lord gave me this message. Because I do have victory.
Amen.
I do have victories. And things are changing in my life. And I thank God for it. So anyway, Psalm 37, verses 1 through 8, says, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither thou be envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like grass and wither as a green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good, so thou shalt dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, and trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger, and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil." Hey, you know, I went to go see Pastor Lou from Old Time Baptist Church. He's up there in a nursing home. He's doing pretty miserably. I'll keep it that way. But I got some encouragement from him yesterday. You know, he just looked at me and he said, "Dale, don't worry about what other people are doing. You just do what God has you doing."
Amen.
That's what he told me. Because sometimes I get discouraged. I go, "Man, is this where I'm supposed to be, Lord? Is this it for me?" And he said, "Don't you worry about what other people are doing. You just do what God told you to do." Now, did I mention anything to him? I didn't say nothing. He just came out with that, and I said, "There's my answer." Thank God for an answer from a man of God. For all those years, an ex-convict, a biker, but mean. You know, and he told me, he goes, "Dale, I don't hide from anybody." He goes, "I'm not running from a single person." He goes, "You know, I was who I was." He goes, "When I walked away from people, I left people full of holes." He goes, "I don't know if they lived or died," and, you know, all that stuff. He said, "But you know what? One thing I did not do," he goes, "I didn't care about what others were doing. I was going to do what God wanted me to do." He said, "I could care less." And I just said, "Man, that's something I need to hear." And anyway, so 10 ways we can have peace and joy and victory in our life. And I'm going to come out of Psalm 37. There's 10 things in here that we can live off of that have some victory in our life. Fret not. The definition of fret, it means to agitate violently, to agitate or disturb, to make rough, to cause a ripple, as to fret the surface of the water, to tease or irritate, to vex, to make angry. In other words, don't let what the unsaved do to you bother you. Listen, there's people out there that live any old way they want, and it seems like they just have the best life ever. But let me just tell you something. Don't fret over that, because theirs is coming. This is their reward here. This is what they get. But so many times, so many of us look and go, "How can they get away with that and I can't?" And I'm going to tell you today that there's things in this room that you can get away with that me and Andy never will be able to get away with. There's things that I may be able to get away with right now that you can't. He says, don't fret over that. Don't fret over these evildoers out there doing what they're doing, because they're going to get theirs. Because judgment doesn't always come immediately. They think they're getting away with something.
Right, yeah.
But you better believe he's marking it down.
Yeah.
And they're going to stand there. I preached this morning on the very word that they reject, that they're going to be judged by. When I preached this morning, that very word that people are rejecting is going to be used to judge them in judgment day. The very Jesus Christ, the one who rejected, is going to judge them. And they're going to say, "Oh, I thought I got away with that." And they didn't get away with it. They didn't get away with one bit of it. And he's marking it down. So don't fret yourself over what's going on, what they're doing, what they're getting away with. God has something for you. Isn't it awesome to think that you have a God who is so full of love for you that he would guide you and direct you in a different way than you ever thought possible? That he's not letting you flounder out there, that he's trying to do something in your life for you. Aren't we not thankful for that? Aren't you? You ever look back and say, Lord, thank you for, look what you brought me from. Do you ever look back and say, man, that's who I was. I was a person full, I was vile and hateful and mean and just didn't care about anything. And God has changed my life. He came in there. Why? Because he loved me. And now he's pulling me in a whole different direction than I never thought possible. How awesome. I mean, when's the last time you thanked him for what he's doing for you? When's the last time you thanked him for the word of God? When's the last time you thanked him for the preachers you had? When's the last time you thanked him for a church pew that you had to sit on that nobody's charging you and who's not afraid to get up here and preach the truth to you? How many times? When's the last time you thanked him? You think you're here by mistake, and you're not. God's got a plan for your life. Why don't you grasp that and run with it? Grab that plow and go forward and just plow that thing up and let him do what he's going to do in your life. So much better. Fret not. Don't worry about what they're doing. All it does is harbor bitterness and anger and wrong thoughts towards people. How can you go out there and help somebody when you're fretting against them? When all you're thinking is, well, how are they getting away with it? Don't forget this. You were once those people. Amen. You were once like them. How can you fret against them and try to help them? You can't. It's just not going to work. Those two things aren't going to go. You can't do that. You can't go out there and help somebody and have something against them and be agitated or irritated by what they're doing. Could you imagine if God was so irritated and agitated with you that he didn't want nothing to do with you for what you do? We can become that towards people. Well, how come they can't see it? How come they're not doing it my way? Because it's not your way, first of all. It's God's way. We need to never forget that we need to do things God's way. But we get so stuck up on what we are going to do. And then we want to pick and choose who we want to work. Lord, this guy here, I really don't want to work with that guy. He died for that guy or that lady or whoever. Whoever God brings in your life, you better get on it. You can't be picky and choosy. He's going to bring who he wants in your life. Fret not. I have a bunch of people, man, I'm just telling you, you want to talk about being disheartened and brokenhearted and just wonder, why, Lord? Why won't they hear? I could fret against them. I could not even pray for them because they want to go their own way. Because that pendulum is swinging the way I don't want them to. I could just say, psh. God forbid if I ever get that way. God forbid if I ever get that. How can you help somebody when you're always thinking or always miserable towards what's going on in their life? We should have an attitude of wanting Jesus to save them and pray for them. But when we fret over them, we will do these things. You'd be bitter against them. Want nothing to do with them. Don't want to help them. And it says here that when you fret over them, how can you feel for them? How can you feel for their attitude? All you do is cause friction and strife. Instead of fretting, let's start praying God touches their lives as he has done with ours. We are not above them or any better. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 6:11, and such were some of you. But you were washed. But you were sanctified. But you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. You understand? We stood there with that hatred in our hearts. We stood there with that murder in our hearts. We stood there with those vile thoughts in our minds. We stood there just like those people did. And he says, and such were some of you, but you've been washed. I mean, do you ever think of how nice it would be to see somebody else's life get washed? To get cleansed? Hey, Montgomery's, how awesome would it be to see another family come together because of what Jesus Christ has done? Hey, Amy, how wonderful would it be to see a marriage that's almost destroyed to be come back together and raise a family in a Christian home? How awesome would that be? Then how many of us are out there thinking about it? Are we too busy fretting against these people? Too busy being aggravated? I'm too busy for them. I ain't got enough time. Thank God somebody didn't do that to me.
Thank God God put on somebody's heart to come and see Adele Morey. Come find me out. He knew what it was going to take. I sat in these pews for 3.5 years being preached to. The problem was I didn't just believe in God all of a sudden. God worked with me. He strove with me because I was being diligent towards Him. You understand that? I was being diligent, and therefore He helped me to believe. Call upon the name of the Lord and shall be saved. How can they call upon who they don't believe? I'm telling you right now, there's people sitting in this room who say they believe and they do not believe. I sat in that pew for 3.5 years unbelieving. Until I started getting into that word, I'm just telling you now, God proved Himself to me, showed Himself to me. But you know, what if I would have had people fretting against me? They may have behind my back. I didn't find out about it. I think God had a little protection around me. I believe that. Why? Because I just took it lightly. I took salvation as serious as a heart attack. I'm just going to let you know right now. And I'm not saying this to brag, but I got folders upon folders upon folders upon folders of studying that I did as a lost man. I mean, just ring notes after ring notes, all this stuff. Why? Because I was being diligent. I needed to know. I wanted salvation more than anything. And it came. I got it. I didn't just believe in God. I'm just telling you that right now. Number two, it says trust in the Lord. The definition of trust is to confide in, to place confidence, to rely on. If we look at the definition of trust in and confide and place confidence and rely on, it has nothing to do with ourselves. Who are you relying on? Who are you really trusting? Who are you really putting all your trust into? I'm just going to tell you this now because I'm a human being and I understand how it goes, that it's hard just to trust God all the time. But if you want victory in your life, you're going to have to learn how to do that. You're going to have the confidence in Him that He's going to be able to get you through what He's got to get you through. But who wants to trust in Him? We're better. Is that too low now? We're better off to trust in, and we're better off to. We think we're better off to trust in ourselves than we are in God. But I'm just going to tell you, you're never going to have victory in your life without trusting Him. Amen. You're going to go through things so that you can trust Him. And when those things come, there's two things you can do: face it or run from it. Face it or run from it. I'd rather face it, and we're facing some pretty hard times as a family right now. But I'd rather be doing that than run from it. I'm just telling you, man. I have no problem. What do I do? Do I turn back to the ways that I used to do? Do I go back to the ways I used to be? Is that going to help me? There's nothing. Nothing that's going to help me. I've had a sore throat all day. Everything is Christ-centered. It all goes around Him. It is placed on Him and in Him. And in turn, He takes care of it all. Trust Him for what He can do. He is God. Or is He so small and powerless in your heart that you can't trust Him? That right there is the answer. Most people think He's just a small little God. They put Him in a little box and then put Him on a shelf. And then when they're ready for Him, they'll call Him down and rub Him like a little genie. And poof, He's just going to answer your prayers. Wrong answer. I'm just telling you now, God knows what's best for each and every one of us. We think we do know what's best. You ever go and have a prayer that's just not answered? You go, God, why don't you answer? And then a few years later, you go, I'm glad He didn't answer that.
Amen.
God knows what we need. I'm just telling you right now. He knows. You think you know, but you don't. Just relax, trust in Him, and go with the flow. Because I'm just telling you.
But we've had times that God has answered a prayer of ours, and we wish He didn't. Oh, gosh. I see Neil shaking his head. I'm just telling you, there'll be times God will say, okay, you want that? Okay, is that what you really want? Here you go. And you go, oh, no, I should have never asked for that. Oh, no.
God knows. He knows. As a human being, it's so hard to trust in God. But I'm telling you, the reward is unbelievable. Victory in your life, second to none. Trusting in the Lord. It says, as a human, as one who is in the flesh, this is hard to do. But the more we do, the more He proves Himself, and the easier it becomes. When we don't, He can't show himself trustworthy to you. And therefore, you have no confidence in him. Be honest. If I could say, all right, how many of you really have confidence in God? How many do you really trust him like he's asking you to? I bet you a lot of us would raise our hands. Because we know for sure that it's one of the hardest things that God will ever ask you to do is just to trust in him, rely on him, and believe that he can do what he says he can do. I know for 40 years I could do what I wanted to do. I could pretty much get myself out of the mess, but it's going to take some illegal things. It's going to take some bad, bad things for me to do it. Just because I've been saved for 4 years doesn't mean that old criminal lifestyle is out of my life. It could pop up at any time. What do I want to do with it? Who do I want to live for? You guys ain't at my house when I'm begging God on my face saying, please, Lord, never. Just go ahead and kill me. Go ahead and take me out of here. I don't want it. I have no desire for my past life whatsoever. I tell Amy all the time, I said, I'm so sick of my past life. It makes me ill. It makes me want to puke. I hate it. Hate it. But I use it sometimes, a lot of times, to try to get people to understand God can work in your life just like he did mine. But I hate my past. You have to understand that. God brought me to a place of such contrition about my past that I hate it. That's where people are missing when it comes to salvation. They may have a broken little heart or a little broken spirit, but they have no place of contrition in their heart because they're not sorry for what they've done in the past. You won't be saved either. God wants you to make sure you feel sorry for what you've done. You know why? Because you won't want to go back there.
Amen.
You just won't want to go back there. You'll understand. You'll see it the way he doesn't go. You know what? I don't want to go back there. And I don't. The second half of this verse says, do good. In other words, then when something comes up, pray and wait on him. If you're not sure what the next move is, do good. Well, what's doing good? Why don't you pray, stay in church, stay in your Bible. Do what you know is right. Most times when people get all messed up and troubles come in their life, the first thing they want to do is close the Bible and walk out of church. Why would you do that? I mean, I have people tell me that all the time. Why are you leaving? And they'll tell me. I say, oh, well, didn't church help you? Didn't the Bible help you? Yes, I got a lot of help. Then why would you walk away from that? Why don't you walk away from what you're doing and walk more into church? Walk more in the Word of God and see how much better your life can get. Don't close up and stop the very thing that's helping you. Oh, so you're just telling me you're mad at God. No, I'm not mad at God. Yes, you are, because you're stopping out like a little baby mad at God for what you do. How many times do we get mad at God for what we do? Oh, you know, Lord. Well, you got yourself in that, Dale. How am I going to get mad at him for something I did, you know? He's just trying to bail me out again. I thank God for it, that he does. It says do good. Wait on him. Do what you know is right. Do what you know is good. Don't slack and give up hope. Trust and do good. 1 John 4:18 says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear because fear hath torment. If you really trust God and really know that he loves you, you won't have fear. You won't be. Listen, you're just going to, listen, perfect love casteth all fear. And I understand we have some fears in us. But he's trying to get rid of that fear. Because we can trust in him that much. Now he's got to get us to that point. Imagine ever walking your life, never having to fear again because you just trust that God's going to take care of you. That's what it takes. Little things over and over and over and over again. But the more you rely on yourself, the less he can ever work. He's going to have to start the process over again. And then you're going to face something else again. And then that thing's going to come back to you. It's going to come back to you. It's going to come back to you. And he's going to finally say, really? Are you going to ever pass this test, or I'm going to give you a little bit of taste? Let me give you a little bit of taste of what you used to be. I'm going to give you a little taste of your past. Let me turn you over to yourself a little bit. I'm telling you, about 3-4 weeks ago, I went through that. I just looked at Amy and said, he's turning me over to myself, man, and oh, God help me. Please get me out of this. I don't want to go back there. You're right. I haven't been looking. I haven't been listening. I haven't been doing what I'm supposed to, Lord, but please don't let me go back there. You guys don't understand. I'm afraid of that, man. I don't want to go back to who I used to be. I don't want to go back to the violence and the addictions and all. I'm afraid of that stuff. I don't want to go there, man. I like my life as a Christian. I love what the Lord's doing in my life. I don't want to ever go back there again. Please never let me go back there again. Then I need to trust Him. And I need to know that He has perfect love for me and that He knows exactly what it's going to take for me. I have to trust that. As pastor, when I met him, one of my biggest things was trust issues, not trusting people. Now you're telling me to trust God? I have to trust that He knows what's best for me, my family. I have to trust that. I couldn't trust a lady, and I'm not, no offense to any ladies, I just had a hard time trusting any woman. But God has given me victory in that. I can trust now. I don't have a problem. That went all the way to pastor's wife. I said, Pastor, I don't even trust your wife. That was years ago. But now you're asking me to trust God. You're asking me to trust Jesus Christ when I had such trust issues. But see, He had to tear down those walls. He had to tear it down. And you know what came with that? Victory. I got victory when I started trusting in Jesus Christ. I got victory when I finally said, and I'm not perfect at it, but when I started giving up myself and started giving over to Him, I got some things done in my life that should have been done. And it became trusting Him. And I know it's hard sometimes, especially when you have medical things going on. Those are the times you're just like, oh my goodness, Pastor Lou, in the place that he's in, and watching him, to me, it looked like it was horrible. But he goes, you know, I'm still witnessing to people. He goes, I have the orderlies and all that. They're cussing me out. He goes, but they don't know who they're messing with. He goes, I witnessed to him. He goes, matter of fact, he goes, I need you to pray for somebody for him. I said, all right. He gave me the guy's name. Name is Ralph. Take that guy's name and pray for Ralph. He asked me to pray for him. I'll give it to you guys. His name is Ralph. Pray for Ralph. That Ralph's the one who cusses him out all the time. And Pastor Lou goes, I don't dislike him. He goes, I love the guy. He goes, and you know, we're sitting there, and he goes, you look around, he goes, God put me here for a reason, Dale. Didn't he say that, Amy? He goes, He put me here to witness to people. He goes, there's some hard people in this place. And I'm talking the workers. He goes, God put me in here for, and I said, man, he trusts God. He trusts God. Can you trust him in that situation? Now, he's paralyzed from the waist down. He used to be able to walk. He used to come preach to me when I was in prison. Now he can't even walk, get out of bed. Nobody takes care of him. It's a horrible thing to see. But he trusts God. Is that something we can say we do? Just telling you, man. He knows what the perfect love that casts all out fear. He knows what that means. He understands that. I think Pastor Luke really understands that. Because not once did it look like he ever lost hope. One bit did it, Amy. Not one inkling. I mean, not you couldn't even tell it. I mean, an inkling that he was discouraged or anything. And I just sat there amazed the whole time. He trusted God. I'm not kidding you. It was a testimony. That's why I said it was an encouragement to me, man. I don't know how I'd feel. I feel like when I in this position, I go, oh, man, oh, you know, all this. And I look at him, I go, oh, man, I have nothing. They understand. Number three, delight thyself also in the Lord. Delight means to have or take great pleasure in. To be greatly pleased or rejoiced in. To have pleasure in the Lord. When you trust the Lord, it is easy to have pleasure in what He's doing in your life. Do you understand that? It says delight yourself. How many are delighting yourself in the Lord? Are you happy about what He's doing in your life? Is it good to you? Or do you think it's just such a bad thing? I mean, are you really delighting in what He's doing for you? Are you rejoicing in the victories you're getting? Or are you too busy laying in your defeats? When you trust God, He says it's, you know, it's easy to delight in the Lord. It's nice to know what He's doing in your life. I am so thankful for the things that He's done in my life and He's continuing to do. It makes it easy for me to get up. Listen, I'm just telling you. I don't know how it ever happened. I don't know where it ever came from. But the desire to read my Bible, I'm just telling you now, it's a miracle in itself.
Amen.
I get up and I woke up in a pretty honorary mood. I have not been sleeping again. Body's hurting. Weather's coming in. Gonna go through it again. But I tell you what, I woke up this morning. I got in the shower and I was a little grumpy. I'm up by myself. I love being up by myself. And I said, I get to read the Bible this morning. That's how I cheered myself up.
Amen.
Just telling you. And I had a great time reading. I sat there, I took my glasses off, and I just started pouring out tears for my children. Crying for them, begging God to have mercy on them. Just crying. That was my alone time with God. How precious is that? I get that. Why? I want to delight myself in the Lord. I really want to know that. I really want to do that. That's a desire of my heart to do that. Oh, thank God that He's given that to me, because that's a miracle in itself. Knowing God has full control in our lives should give us the heart to delight in the Lord. The second part of the verse is, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. When God is your delight, your desires will be so different than what they are today. What are your desires then? What are you really desiring in your heart today? What is it? Because I'm just telling you now, if it doesn't line up with God or His will, forget it. You won't want it. He'll give it to you. You go ahead and keep begging Him for it. He'll give it to you. Guarantee you won't like it. Here it says, He'll give you the desires of your heart. That's a clean heart, first of all. Let me just tell you that right now. That's a heart that's right with God. That's a heart that's ready and willing to serve Him, who's ready and willing to read His word and do what it says. He'll give you the desires of your heart. Because I'm just telling you, when everything lines up and I'm doing things right for about an hour with God, because that's about as good as I get, He'll give me the desires of my heart. Okay? I can't get much past an hour. I'm just being truthful, man. But you know, when we seriously, our desires become different when you're a saved person. I know mine has. I shouldn't talk for everybody. I'll talk for me. I know my desires have been different. I don't want the same things that now that I did before I was unsaved. I don't. My wife says she has the same thing. She don't have the desires in her heart that she used to have. They're different. They change. Why? Because they're more lining up with God. They're more lining up with His will. You know, what's good for us and what's not good for us? I can tell you now, I know a lot that's not good for us. You know, thank God that our eyes have been opened. It says in Hebrews that it's impossible for them to turn back. For those, I'm going to misquote it, but it says that it's impossible for them to turn back when they were once enlightened. Amen. We got enlightened. And we've seen some things, and I'm just saying, it doesn't stop. The process is that God's still enlightening our mind. He's still showing us things. But to delight yourself in the Lord. Verse 5 says, commit thy way. You see that singular, W-A-Y? Thy way. Verse 5, commit thy way unto the Lord. Notice the word way. It's singular because our way should be His way. One way. That's Jesus Christ. John 14:6. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You understand? There is only one way you'll ever have victory in your life. There's only one way that you're going to ever have anything in your life that's worth anything, and that's through Jesus Christ. I know that for a fact because my life has been turned from my way to His way. Called repentance. Repented. I've come to the point in my life where the Lord brought me to such deep contrition that I repented. I turned away and realized that's not what I want. It did me no good. Oh, Lord, I've done nothing but sin against You my whole life. I want Your way now, Lord. Just please direct me on Your way. And that's what I'm just telling you, man. He says, commit thy way unto the Lord. You have to commit your way. Are you ready to commit? Do you know what commit means? I know when I got committed to the state of New York Penitentiary, I was committed. There was no getting out of it. Okay? I was committed. Okay? I wasn't getting out of that, man. I mean, I had 5 years to do, and that's it. But that's commit. Are you ready to commit that way unto God? Commit your way to God. Commit. Don't want to get out of it. Why would you want to get out of something that's so good? I don't want to get out of it. I believe that becomes a desire of your heart that you just don't want to get out of it. Sometimes you feel like, man, I don't know. Is this the right thing for me? And this and that. And all of a sudden God shows you something. You go, yeah, this is what I want. This is it. This is it. Commit your way. You got to commit your way. I got to say this. I probably said it 100 times, but listen, God's not going to compromise for you, man. I'm sorry. He's not going to bend who He is. He's not going to, bend His righteousness or His holiness a little bit just, you know, to get you. That's not going to happen. Okay, it's going to be His way or no way. You're just not going to do it on your own. God's not going to sit there and say, all right, yeah, okay, well, let's compromise. What do you want me to do to get you? He's not doing that. You're going to come in His way and only His way, and that is it. There is no other way. Okay? There is no compromise. God's not going to compromise. If God could tell the tiniest little lie to save you from hell, He would not do it. You'd be burning for eternity. Better believe it. Not compromising who He is. And thank God He's not.
Amen.
Thank God He's not. You know what? Again, I'm going to use this as an example. Because my life is my only example. I don't know you guys to know all your life examples. But for me, when I stood in front of that judge for breaking the law, I had to pay that price, did I not? Why wouldn't you have to do that standing in front of God? When that judge gave me the 5 years, that was it. That was my sentence. He had to uphold that. God gave His law and said, whoever breaks Him is going to die and burn in hell. He's got to do that. He's got to uphold that. It's His law. He's not going to break His law for you. But He made a way.
Jesus Christ hung on that cross.
He took it for you. Some people say, oh yeah, He's such a mean God. He throws people in hell. No. Here's how mean God is.
They came down, He got His beard ripped off, hair pulled out, crown of thorns stomped on His head, his back was beaten to like hamburg meat, nailed to a cross and everything else. That's
what He chose for you. If you reject that, you choose to go to hell. He didn't choose you to go there, you did. Don't blame God for it. You blame yourself for rejecting Jesus Christ. You know what the Lord showed me? Dale, people aren't rejecting you. They're rejecting the one you stand up for. His name is Jesus. That's who they're rejecting. That gave me some comfort to realize they're not rejecting me. You're right, Lord. They're rejecting what I preach. They're rejecting Jesus Christ. They're not rejecting. They're rejecting their... You know what they're going to do? They're going to find themselves, oh, I'm just going to go party in hell. Let me just tell you this. That all sounds fine and dandy, but let me tell you what the Word of God says is going to happen to those. He's going to come down. They're going to come down with an angel.
The angels are going to come, and they're going to grab you up, and they're going to bind your hand and foot. This is how fun it's going to be to get cast into hell. This is how willing you're going to be willing to go. And the angels are going to come, bind your hand and foot, and they're going to throw you in there for eternity.
That's what they're going to do. There's no, I'm going to go to hell and party and all. And you know what? You don't have to believe in hell. You don't have to believe hell is real for it to be real. You go ahead and keep rejecting it. And one day you're going to stand up there and you're going to stand before the throne. And guess what's going to happen? This very word that you rejected, you're going to be judged by. You're going to go, what is that? He's going to say, I'm judging you now. What is that up there? That's the King James Bible. I'm going to judge you by it. The very words that you are rejecting, He's going to judge you by those words. I'm just telling you, you don't have to. You can delight yourself in the Lord if you really want. You can commit your ways unto Him if you really want. It's up to you what you want. That's your choice. Listen, God's not forcing Himself on anybody. I don't ever remember one time God ever forcing Himself on me. Matter of fact, since being in this church for almost 8 years, I don't remember God ever forcing Himself on me or that man sitting right there ever. Oh, come on. Never. And I got the real thing. I got the real deal, Holyfield. I got saved for eternity, man. And it took God to do that thing. It took God to show Himself to me. It took God to prove Himself to me. And that's what He wants to do. It's not like He doesn't want to do it. He does. But you can't give up. You can't give up. There's hope. Romans 15:13. There's hope. He's the God of all hope. Proverbs 16:3 says, commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. Can you believe that? I don't have very good thoughts. Sometimes I make the worst decisions. You know why? Because I didn't commit my works unto God. If I commit my works unto Him, He's going to direct my thoughts. And you know what? They always turn out wonderful, don't they, Amy? We'll look at each other and go, now we know that was from God. We know that was from God. But then I'll look at it and I'll go, you knew who that one was from. You knew who that one was from. You know, I think I know what's best for me and my family. It's not like I'm always wrong. I mean, God has given me some wisdom. I'm not an idiot. You know, just because I became a Christian didn't mean I became stupid. You know, God has taught me some things out of his Bible. But I'm just saying, the most part, we know. You can tell when you commit your ways unto the Lord and the thought comes up, you go, oh, yeah, that's definitely from the Lord. That there, there's no question. It's just so smooth. And I mean, just it's perfect. I remember telling Amy, Amy, we need to do this. And she said, ah, you know, really? And then we put it off for like 6 months. I said, Amy, that was my fault. I should have just made the decision right then and there. And I said, Amy, do it now. It's got to be done immediately. And I'm just telling you, smooth as, I mean, butter. I said, I told you. She goes, yeah, that was smooth. That was the right. I said, that was the right way. Why? Because I committed my works unto God. And he, and you know what? He got it smooth. He made me think about how to handle that thing. And when I thought about it, it just went so smooth and perfect. Not, I mean, nothing. No trouble whatsoever. But he says you got to commit your works unto him. You have to commit it. You want victory in your life? Commit it unto God. What is so wrong with serving God? I had a kid tell me the other day, well, that's just not my thing. Well, can I ask you what is? Because it doesn't look like you're doing a very good job yourself. You've lost everything in your life. You have nothing left. You have nothing but death left to lose. How well are you doing? I said, good luck with yourself. And it's not going to be long before I get a phone call from jail or prison or something, or maybe even the morgue. I know somebody else that happened to. No, I'm good. I got this. That person now has another charge and is in a rehab because they knew that. They know how to do it. They know how to run their life. You would think after all these times that they would see, they don't know how to run it. I had to finally see that for myself. Did I not have to see that?
Right.
I had to see that, but I'll tell you what right now. 90 and a half East Main Street, almost 4 years ago, I seen that for the first time. I realized that there is no way that I can do this thing.
I haven't been arrested since. I don't have any new charges, nothing. I think I got one or two speeding, not even speeding, some kind of tickets. That's odd for me.
My mom's like, Dale, I can't believe you've been out this long. I said, I know. I can't believe it. I've been out this long. That's a miracle though, right? That's what God does. I haven't been to a rehab, mental hospital. I'm not even on any of them drugs or nothing. You got to understand, though, but I lived my life on all that stuff for all those years. So to me, that's a huge miracle. That's a. My mom would tell Amy the story. I used to walk around with a 40-ounce of Old English in my back pocket, wrapped up in a brown paper bag with some Jack Daniels in the front pocket and some type of drugs in the other one. And that's how I walked around 7 days a week. At the time, you couldn't buy alcohol on a Sunday. So I would go on a Saturday and make sure I had enough for all day Sunday. I would buy a case of 40-ounce Old English 40-ounce malt liquor. That's what I drank. You know how many of those come in a case? If you ever drank them, you would know, 12. I would drink 12 in one day. Just telling you. How did I feed that habit plus my drugs? Committing crimes. It got so bad where my mother would call my uncle, who was a Buffalo special, who was a police officer, to frisk me before I came into her house on holidays. I'm just telling you, man, where did all that go? I ask Amy all the time, what happened to that? Where did that desire go? Where did that me wanting that high go? I mean, I was a speed freak. I liked anything that made me speedy. Okay, I wasn't a downer. I didn't like weed and all that kind of stuff because it made me feel all groggy. I wanted something that picked me up and I could run 6-7 miles. I could stand for 7, 8, 9 days at a time and go on a spree, you know? That was me. Where'd all that go? Do you know we live in an area that's full of crystal meth and that was my drug of choice? What's stopping me from going right and getting some? I know where it's at. I'm just telling you, a miracle. Because I got saved and I started delighting myself in the Lord that I don't want those ways anymore. That's just the God's honest truth, because there is nothing else. No psychiatrists, no mental hospitals, no jails, no prisons. Not my children. Not the love my children had for me didn't change me. The love my parents had for me didn't change me. None of that changed me. Not an inkling of that stopped the way I was. Because I tell you, if it was powerful enough, it would have stopped me. But it was not. Not even the love of my own children. Not even the love of my own mother crying for me. That would stop me from doing what I was doing. But Jesus Christ stepped in. And woo! I'm just telling you, man. Jesus Christ stepped in and I ain't never been the same. I may not be perfect, but I'm just telling you now, I'm a whole lot better than I ever was. And I give him the glory for it. Because it was something that was impossible for me to do. Impossible. But you know where I got the victories? I got the victories from him and his word. And Pastor, I'm done.
Glory be to God.